Now, Father, thank you for how we have been given two great gifts, the great gift of your Son to save us, to intercede for us, the lover of our soul, even Jesus. We also thank you for the great gift of your Spirit. And we know that Jesus spoke a lot about your Spirit, the Spirit that leads us into all truth, the Spirit that would take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. And we thank you for him. Even now, we look to him to lead us and guide us in your word. And I pray that these words that we look at today, Lord, we have to pray this all the time. These words don't just sit on the surface of our life. May they enter deep into our soul and allow us to be changed and transformed. And we thank you for your great word now. We pray that you would bless it to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the days of the Apostle Paul, he lived during the days when the Roman Empire was very powerful, ruling over the then known world. But the Roman Empire also had very powerful enemies against it, and so they had to have an army to help the Roman Empire to remain. And every soldier had to be fitted out with what? With armour, fitted out by the Empire, so that they might be soldiers able and equipped to stand against powerful enemies. So here we go, here's a little imagination. Imagine a soldier of the Roman Empire waking up one day, having breakfast and deciding, you know what, today I'm just going to go onto the battlefield barefoot and in my robe, see what happens. You would think that soldier is insane. What on earth would a soldier like that be doing? He's going to get wounded, isn't he? Going to get maimed, probably killed. That's crazy, isn't it? Well, with that little picture, I would say to you, I'm not trying to be mean here, but I would say to you that many a Christian enters into every day like that insane soldier. We fail to realise that this is not our comfy time. This is a time when we are facing spiritual warfare. We are in a war zone this side of heaven. And so many Christians don't realise that we are under attack by a world that is hostile to us and by Satan who is opposed to us. And let me read to you some verses from the Bible that we looked at last week actually. In 1 Peter chapter 5 at the end of verse 8, we read, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Do you take that serious? Is that something you're aware of? What about John 15, Jesus' words at the end of verse 19? He says, "Because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Doesn't just tolerate you, hates you. We are under attack, as we saw last week, by the devil and by this fallen world that's under Satan's control. And this is why we need to realise what's going on so that we might be serious as a Christian to take up something. What was in that passage? What are we to put on? What are we to take up? The armour of God. We are to take up the armour of God. And I'm going to read to you now verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians 6. It says, "Put on the full armour of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." This is what the Bible says. This is our stake as we live here on earth. And yes, sure, there is going to come a time when we will have perfect peace and absolute beauty and glory all around us, and it's called heaven. But we're not in heaven now. This is a war zone. And we need to be aware of that. And that's why we need to take seriously, not being a silly soldier going into battle without any armour on, we need to arm ourselves up. Now I want to mention before I get into the armour of God this morning, how we need to especially understand the days that we live in. And you would know that my position is that I believe that the coming of Jesus is just around the corner. And I look at, therefore, the teaching of the Bible, and it comes alive to me in the sense that because the return of Christ is so imminent, it means that we are living in those dangerous times that Jesus spoke about. We are living in times where we are told that there's going to be powerful lies and deceptions to come against us to take us down. And I'm going to read to you some verses. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the Apostle Paul was speaking about what would happen before the great and glorious return of Jesus, just before he came. Paul says, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for this day will not come unless the apostasy come first." Does that alarm you? Apostasy. That means there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. That is to say, there's going to be all these so-called Christians who didn't arm up, who weren't really where they should be, and they're taken down by the devil and by this world. This is serious. This could be us. So that's important to understand. In Jesus also said in Luke 18 verse 8, speaking about his coming, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Wow, what a thing for Jesus to say. It's showing us what it's going to be like. There's going to be very few left standing firm because of how we have not armed ourselves up. And probably in the case we're not even saved yet. So we need to be aware of these things. And reading 1 Peter 5:8, the whole verse, it says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert." That's what we've got to do. Then it says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So I gave all this as a prelude so that all of us would take serious the need to arm up. You must arm up in order to be able to stand firm. It's not a time to just be sitting back, relaxing. This is a time to be serious about Jesus and to protect yourselves. So this morning we're going to be looking at the armour of God. Isn't that good? We're going to be looking at the different parts. We're going to try and put it all together in the time we have. And also we're going to be looking at practically what it means to put on the armour of God. So we should be looking at the belt and the breastplate, the shoes and the shield, the helmet of hope and the sword of the Spirit. These are the things that we'll be looking at this morning. But before we do that, I'm going to read, because that's in verses 14 to 17, I'm going to read verse 13. And I want you to pick up here in verse 13 something absolutely important mentioned here before we get to the actual bits of the armour of God. And that is, we need to be armed and alert. Armed and alert. Let's read verse 13 of Ephesians 6. "Therefore, take up the full armour of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." So just before we get into the armour of God, that's what it says. Notice what it says here. It says that we are to take up the full armour of God. Again, thinking of a soldier, I've never seen a soldier go into battle just with a helmet and casual, you know, t-shirt and thongs and shorts. No, it's helmet and everything else. And that's how it is, isn't it? And we need to be armed up fully. This is a serious battle. We can't allow ourselves to have holes in the armour and get taken down. This is a picture that the Bible is presenting to us. Arm yourselves up. Be armed. And it talks here about it being the armour of God. Now I want to explain this. The armour of God. What is this armour of God? Well, it's God's armour. And this armour is what God wants us to take up or put on. And I want you to understand as we look at this passage that there are two things in the Christian life we need to understand. There is what we call our position, and then there is the practice. So positionally, and Phil shared from Colossians chapter 2, positionally, we are absolutely, you know, in a fantastic place being in Christ. We are forgiven. The devil cannot hold on to us anymore because we shifted camp. When the Lord can't, and it's all because of the cross, all because of what the Lord has done. Positionally, we are in a great place. But practically, this is what these words are about, practically, we need to do things. We need to. Christ has done everything for us. But with the help of His Spirit, there are things we need to do. It's not if we're just waking up and go, "Thank you, Lord, for the armour of God." That's it. No, you need to apply it, put it into practice, so that you can be protected from the assaults of the devil and the world. So this armour is the armour that God wants every child of His to be fitted out with. He has saved you. He has put you in his army. He's the captain and commander, and he's telling you, put on these things. This is my armour for you. So we're going to be looking at that. And not only that, it tells us here that in verse 13, we are to resist the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. And I'm intrigued by that. Resist the evil day. Surely, you should know, if you're a Christian, that our life is made up of all sorts of days. There are days when you feel like you're not going to ever sin because you're so close to the Lord and everything's so good. And then there are other days when you are feeling like right under attack and, oh man, you know, like it's so bad. And I feel that this verse is telling you, with all the days you have in life, be alert. There are good days, easy days, there are hard days. Be alert. Because if you put your guard down, the devil could get through. The world can take you down. So we need to be armed and we need to be alert. I know my own life. There are times when I am tempted more than other times. That's how it is. But Jesus experienced that. The devil tempted him at the beginning of his ministry and then looked for opportune times to get at him again and again and again. It's not all the days. That's great, because otherwise this life would be insane with the heaviness. God gives us beautiful times. But there are other times he permits us to go under trial. The thing about us is, be armed and be alert. I feel those words are so important for us to understand. And look at that emphasis. Stand firm, it says. Do everything to stand firm. Right, now we're going to look at what the everything is. What is this everything? It's the armour of God. Let's have a look at Ephesians 6, verse 14. Right, so this verse says, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, or putting on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So there's a belt and there's a breastplate. Let's have a look at the belt first. So in a soldier of the Roman Empire, a soldier, the belt was pretty important. It held everything together. Even the breastplate was connected to it, the thigh pads as well, the sword was connected to the belt. The belt held everything in place. It was very important. Without a belt, you're going to be, you know, it's going to go all over the place, all your armour. So the belt is very important. So what about when it comes to a Christian? This is a picture language. When it comes to a Christian, what is so important in our life? Well, it tells us there, we need to put on the belt of truth. The truth really matters. We must put on the truth of God. We must gird ourselves with it. We must trust in his truth. This will keep you and steady you in this hostile world we live in. You need to be convinced that the Bible is the word of God from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22 verse 21. This is the word of the Lord, the living and enduring word of God, and you need to put your full trust in it. If you don't, you're going to be subject to oscillations, ups and downs and crashing. You won't be able to stand firm. So we need to put on this belt of truth. It's to gird us and make us strong. This truth, not by doing exercises and that, is by trusting in the Lord's truth. So this is what the belt is. That's why we encourage every Christian to read the Bible, to study it, meditate upon it. Try and put into practice Psalm 1, where we meditate on the word of the Lord day and night. Let this word be your all in all. So that's the belt. And then I'm going to look now at the next part. It says breastplate. So the breastplate for a soldier was something that protected him from, protected his vital organs. So one of the most vital organs is your heart. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul is highlighting here. We need a breastplate to protect our heart as a Christian. So what is this breastplate? In order to protect our heart, it's called the breastplate of righteousness. So what does that mean? It means that your heart needs to be committed to something. Righteousness. So what does that mean? Like, here we go, this is a very good thing to consider. Positionally, God has clothed us in Christ's righteousness. How do you feel about that? That's fantastic. Positionally, we stand right before God. Because Jesus has taken all our sins away. Praise the Lord. But practically, we know, even though we stand well with God, practically we have a heart that can be deceptive and dangerous to us. And we need to protect our heart from going astray by being committed to righteousness. And that happens through the Spirit. Jeremiah, this is what a verse. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. It says about the human heart, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's God speaking about my and your human heart. Our heart is tempted towards all sorts of evil desires and passions. And the armour of God, part of the armour of God is you need to protect your heart by having it being committed to righteousness. No longer wickedness, but righteousness. And to do that, we must have the Holy Spirit help us. So I'm going to read now a verse that's very special for me in my overcoming my sinful desires and being a person who protects my heart. It says in Romans 8, 12 and 13, so then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Do you love the emphasis of the Holy Spirit? He's the one who helps us to put to death our sinful desires and passions, to help our heart be free, to love righteousness, to live for the Lord. We have to protect our heart. I reckon many a Christian fails here. We don't protect our heart. We don't call on the Holy Spirit to help us to cut down wrong desires and passions that are coming from our own sinful nature or being enticed because of the world and because of the devil. And we are so vulnerable to attack because we're not protecting our heart. It's a serious thing. You know how this world is now? With all that thing there on the internet and what we can watch on TV, you must protect your heart. It needs to be protected by righteousness. I'm going to be righteous because Christ gave himself for me and loved me. And through the Holy Spirit, I'm going to seek to live like that. Right, yeah, that's the first two. The belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. So now we come to verse 15. And verse 15 has always been a little bit of a challenging one for me. And there's different ways we can take it. I'm just going to give you one way. This is how I take it. But let me read it first of all. In the context of putting on this armour, it says, and put on, it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So what's that about? I am to put on special shoes. It's sort of speaking of shoes. You know, so a soldier would have shoes. A soldier would have boots. A soldier would have these things to protect him being attacked at his feet where he would fall down, wouldn't he? So he needed to protect his feet. And we need something to protect our feet. And we don't protect our feet from doing certain things, falling over or running away. Now I reckon the key to understanding this verse is the word peace. We have the gospel of peace. And first and foremost, this gospel has enabled us to have peace with God. You know Romans chapter 5 verse 1? Great verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But the gospel outworkings go further than that. We don't just have peace with God, but we also have peace to help us in this life, to steady the ship. And there's a great verse on that. There's that one in Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 that says, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see the blessing of this peace? Can you see how it fits in with the armour of God? Here we are, we're under attack. People are being horrible to us. What is the thing that's going to help us to stand firm? Where we don't become terrible in our behaviour or we run away. It's the peace. I have peace with God, but I also have the peace of Christ in my heart to still me, to settle me, to calm me, so I can stand my ground. How lovely that peace is. And it goes even further than that. This wonderful peace, also, we are able through the Holy Spirit to show peace to other people. And there's a verse that's pretty challenging when you read it in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. It says, pursue peace with all people. Oh man, what a challenge. Pursue peace with all people and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So our stand as a soldier of Christ is to be a person of peace. We represent the Prince of Peace. And we are to be at peace with God. We are to be at peace with each other. And we are to have the peace of Christ fill our hearts. Can you see how this causes you then to stand firm? You can stand your ground because of this extraordinary peace that we can have through the Holy Spirit. This is a great part of the armour of God. Arm up. Be filled with His peace. And then the next thing is, in verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you are able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What picture language that is. So the Roman soldier would have a shield, and the shield would be used to ward off the arrows and the javelins and a sword and all sorts of things coming towards you. This shield was so important. And so when we think of the armour of God for a Christian, we have a shield as well. And that shield is described here to be the shield of faith. What's that about? The shield of faith. What is able to knock down all the fiery arrows of the devil? What sort of arrows are these? Fiery arrows. What is he trying to do? Destroy us. What kind of things is this talking about? Well, Phil, you mentioned it. Satan, his name means accuser. He wants to accuse us. All his accusations before God are going to fall flat, but his accusations towards me can hold ground if I don't have faith. I don't have faith. I need to exercise my faith in God to make sure all those accusations fall flat. So surely you should know this. You know, the devil will beat you up and tell you how bad you are and that you don't deserve to be a Christian and you're not even a Christian and Jesus doesn't even love you, and when you get to heaven you'll be turned away. Okay, faith comes in here. How does it come in? God has said, I am forgiven. Faith, that's faith. Faith is taking hold of God's word, God's promises, and applying it. And that's our shield of faith. That knocks down every arrow, knocks down every attack. There's many ways that he can attack us, and it's by faith we are to stand. We can have lots of doubts. I've had the seasons in my life of doubts. And you know, there I am praying to the Lord, Lord, please help me in my doubts about you. But that's how it is. And I have to grow in faith. I have to go back to the basics. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. And I allow faith to grow, and then faith knocks out those doubts. This is the warfare we're in. So I'm going to read to you a passage in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 to 39. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of our soul. Look how important faith is. Faith is our great shield and it helps us to stand firm. So how are we going so far? The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield. Armed up, right? Got two more to go. I wanted to do it all together so you can get a full picture and package of the armour of God. The next ones are mentioned in verse 17. Beginning of verse 17, Ephesians 6 verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. So the helmet for a soldier in the Roman Empire would of course protect his head. Oh, you need protection. The helmet would go on. So we need to protect our head, but not so much our head. We need to protect something in our head, our mind, our thoughts. And we have a helmet to protect our mind, our thoughts. What is that helmet? It's the helmet of salvation. But you know, I remember not really understanding that fully until I read an accompanying verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. In chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of our salvation." Ah, that's the helmet. It's that aspect of salvation that we describe our hope. Think about this. If we think about our hope, our thoughts are primarily about where we are heading to, where we're going, that's going to sort out our thinking, is it not? Instead of looking at all the trouble here on earth and being dismayed and discouraged, which is so easy to do, we remember who we are and where we're heading. It sorts out your brain. Pretty good, I reckon. We need the helmet of the hope of salvation. And friends, that's what Jesus had. I've got to read to you one of my favourite verses. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What was filling his mind at the cross when he's being unjustly treated? The hope before him. The joy of that hope of being with the Father again and bringing us home to be with him. It's hope. We've got to fill our mind with hope. And there's another passage on this in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, 2 and 3. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is." And then in verse 3 it says these extraordinary words, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure." What do you think of that? That's telling us this hope doesn't just sort out our brain, but it even does even something else, purifies us, sets us in the right path every day of our life as we live. This hope, what a helmet it is. We've got to put it on. We've got to talk about our hope, think about our hope so much more. We're saved. We've got a home to go to. Don't worry about all the attacks going on and the fighting going on here in that sense. You don't have to worry about that because your salvation is secure. You have a glorious hope, and that helps us not get discouraged, not retreat, not turn back. It helps us, what's those two words? To stand firm. To stand firm. Right. We come to the last part of the armour of God. This is the only offensive weapon mentioned in the armour of God. Everything else is defensive. And there it is, I'll read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," and it's spelled out exactly what the sword of the Spirit is, the Word of God. Can't imagine a Roman Empire soldier going into battle without his sword, right? Can you? Oh, I'll just rock up in my armour, that's all. No, you need a sword, come on. And we have a sword as well. The sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So even though the belt of truth is emphasising how we are to trust in and gird ourselves with the truth of God, we're also to use the truth of God, the Word of God, to attack. Not to kill anybody. What are we doing with this sword? We're cutting down the lies and the deceptions of the devil. We're cutting down the human philosophies and ways of this world that are opposed to Christ. In doing that, we are protecting ourselves, but also we're doing something even greater. We are also using that sword to set people free from lies and deceptions. And if we have enough of us, and God is pleased to do this, we can even set our society free from the grip that Satan has. You think of revivals when the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ was declared, and mighty sword of the Spirit came and cut down the lies and the deceptions, the immorality of society, and brought so many people to Christ. This is our weapon. The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. It's called the sword of the Spirit because at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit who has inspired this Word, and we need the Holy Spirit to use it well. To use it properly. To use it for ourselves, for the benefit of others, and for our society. So there you go. Soldiers of the Lord. This is the armour of God that God wants you to take up every day. You need to apply yourself every day to the truth, the belt of truth. Be committed to His truth. You need to take up the breastplate of righteousness. Protect your heart every day through the help of the Spirit. You need to take up those other things, the shoes. Be about peace. You need to take up the shield of faith to extinguish the arrows of the evil one by faith. You need to take the helmet of salvation, that is our hope, to protect your mind. You need to take the sword of the Spirit to cut down the lies and the deceptions of this world. This is it. Our captain and commander wants us to be aware of what we're going through, especially in the days we live. This is a day when many will fall away. But those who are of the Lord, we are to, two words, stand firm. Stand firm. You must stand firm. This is the word of the Lord. This is such a fitting word for the days that we live in. May the Lord help us to be able to put these things into practice every day. Positionally, we are so blessed in Christ, but practically, we're so often in such a bad place and we don't realise why we're struggling and going downhill. Let's get that practical part of the Christian life fired up. Let's put on the armour of God. Okay, let's sing together. In prayer. John 6, I don't want anyone to be unsettled. If we are in Christ, It is very well with our soul. And my favourite, because it sounds like in the battle, you know, you might lose and you might fall and fail. But there's a wonderful truth in John chapter 6 where we read these words. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I will lose none, but raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I myself will raise them up on the last day.
Amen.
The great question is, are we the Lord's though? And if we are the Lord's, let's arm up. Let's do our part in this world to stand firm. Let's pray. Father, as I look at Ephesians 6, I can wonder about this war I'm in and what happens if I fail. But thank you for these words of Jesus that are also mentioned in other places of the New Testament, that our position before you is secure. And yet, Lord, we can be so so full of joy about that and still be so poor at being armed up, standing firm, because this brings glory to you as well. And for us to be useful in your kingdom. So I pray for us all that we would have a strong understanding of how secure we are in Christ because of Jesus, because of what he's promised here, that he won't lose us. But Lord, please would you help us also to not be foolish, but to arm ourselves up with your armour that we might all stand firm, and help us to help each other with this too, so that we won't be subject to falling away, but being steadfast and standing firm. Lord, I don't know where we all are. There might be some who are falling away at the moment. Please stop that fall and bring them back to that great place with your Son Jesus. Help us to do what we can to help them. And Lord, I just ask that you keep us for the glory of your name, for your kingdom. These are great days to live in. Help us to fight well and help us to stand firm. Thank you, Lord, for this great moment of time we've had in your presence in this place. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit, even to my own soul. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.